Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak here for this Friday, the 26th of May in London. Coming up today.
On the hunt, the Chancellor says he's in favour of higher rates, even if it causes a recession.
X marks the spot. A US debt deal begins to take shape as the Treasury gets down to its last $50 billion.
Not ready for retirement just yet. Asset managers attack a plan to force pensions into a UK growth fund.
Guilty secret, the UK fails to gild the lily and giving the extra 5% at home. Those are the stories we're looking at in today's papers. I'm James Walcock.
Plus, a rising tide lifts all boats except ARK. Cathie Wood's flagship fund sold Nvidia just before the stock surge.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe. The business news you need to start your day in just one 15-minute podcast. On Apple, Spotify, the Bloomberg Business app, and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning, I'm Stephen Carroll.
And I'm Caroline Hepke. Here are the stories that we're following today.
The Chancellor of the Exchequer says he would support the Bank of England raising interest rates even further to bring down inflation. Jeremy Hunt adding that he's comfortable with Britain being plunged into recession if that's what it takes to stabilise prices.
We will make sure that the government plays its part, the Bank of England plays its part, but it is not a trade-off between tackling inflation and recession. In the end, the only path to sustainable growth is to bring down inflation.
The Chancellor's remarks follow this week's surprisingly strong inflation figures for the UK, which prompted traders to boost bets on BOE rates hitting 5.5%. Meanwhile, the Bank of England policymaker Jonathan Haskell is signalling he's likely to support further hikes. Speaking at an event in Washington, the rate setter said it's important to lean against the risk of inflation becoming embedded.
Now, Republican and White House negotiators are understood to be moving closer to an agreement to raise the debt limit. Bloomberg has learned that while a deal is not yet in hand, the two sides have narrowed their differences on spending. Speaking to reporters, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy sought to shift blame to Democrats for the ongoing impasse.
We need to have an agreement that's worthy of the American public. The reason why we're here, we've got more money in any given time coming into our government. But when the Democrats took the majority, they are now spending more than any time in our history, and our debt is higher than any time in our history. So let's just get this right.
McCarthy's comments come as new data shows the Treasury's cash balance has fallen below $50 billion for the first time since 2021. Janet Yellen says that the government could run out of money as soon as the 1st of June without a deal.
Back here in the UK, fund managers are starting to question if new plans to create a UK growth fund clash with their duty to deliver returns. Executives at Aegon, Aviva and Aberdeen are among those voicing their concerns that the £50 billion proposal would be mandatory. The fund has been championed by the City of London's Mayor Nick Lyons, who laid out those plans in our studio last week.
We've got £4 trillion in our pension system, but it's only 7% invested in unlisted assets like infrastructure loans, real estate, private equity, private debt. When you look at the most successful pension systems in the world, that's 30%, 35%. In some of the cases of the Canadian pension funds, it's 50% in those unlisted asset classes. So we've failed so far to deliver the sort of returns that our policyholders need to get proper retirement income.
The mayor also heads the City of London Corporation. In response to the criticism, they told us they would prefer a voluntary agreement or a pledge from pension funds to a mandate.
Now, UBS and the Swiss government haven't agreed the precise terms of state guarantees for the emergency takeover of Credit Suisse. Sources say that completion of the deal could be pushed back to June instead of late May. UBS and the government are also still haggling over the regulatory implications of the takeover, including capital requirements and liquidity rules.
JP Morgan Chase notified about 1,000 First Republic Bank employees that they aren't being given jobs, even temporarily, following its takeover of the failed lender. The story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Sources say the biggest American bank did offer full-time or transitional roles to almost 85% of the nearly 7,000 employees still working at First Republic when it collapsed, while the rest were told they would not get offers. The temporary jobs will be for 3, 6, 9, or 12 months, depending on the position. A spokesperson said former First Republic employees who were not offered jobs at JP Morgan, quote, will receive pay and benefits covering 60 days and will be offered a package that includes an additional lump sum payment and continuing benefits coverage. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak Europe.
Cathie Wood's flagship ETF closed out its Nvidia stake in January, missing out on the stock's recent surge. The chipmaker, the world's most valuable, has added more than $500 billion in market cap since Wood dumped the shares. Wood holds Nvidia across several of her smaller funds, but investors in the flagship ARK Innovation ETF have missed out on Nvidia's blistering rally.
So those are our top stories this morning. Caroline, are you planning to do any important shopping at the weekend by any chance? A fancy watch?
A fancy watch on your shopping list? Probably not, but I know that we track all the data if you do want to buy one.
Well, indeed. This is the story that we are looking at this morning about Bloomberg's Subdial Watch Index, down 1.4% in 30 days. We track the most traded watches. These are prices for pre-owned watches that have fallen about 26% in a year. So it could be perhaps the moment to go looking. The Rolex Explorer 2 and the Patek Nautilus are the biggest decliners in that as well. So this could be the moment that perhaps you might want to swoop in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, listen, all the stories around watches and luxury items are always so well read on the Bloomberg Terminal, especially on a Friday. So I bet this is going to get loads of hits.
Well, in case you're looking for a different bargain, Chanel's $10,000 handbags probably cost more come September. And this is because the luxury brand is set to review prices. They do it twice a year. They've already increased them 8% in March. So currently,
that is much more up my street. Why didn't we start with that rather than the watches?
I like to cast my luxury net broadly.
Yeah, okay, lovely stuff. Thank you for that. Right, let's talk about what's happening here in the UK this morning. So back in January, the Prime Minister laid out 5 priorities for his government. They were, of course, to halve inflation, grow the economy, cut debt, cut waiting lists in terms of healthcare and the NHS, and stop migrants arriving in the UK in small boats. After this week, though, even the least ambitious of those goals seems tougher to achieve. Our UK correspondent Lizzie Burden joins us now with more. Good morning, Lizzie. So it's not been a terribly good week for Rishi Sunak. On the economic front, this week's inflation figures casting real doubt on what we all thought was going to be an easy goal, halving inflation.
Yeah, do you remember only weeks ago, former Bank of England Monetary Policy Committee member Michael Saunders told us that promising that inflation would halve by year end was like targeting that the sun should rise tomorrow. Well, it doesn't look like that anymore. We saw this week, as you say, inflation might be back in single digits, but that April figure beat all economists' expectations, and importantly, core inflation rose. So that signifies the stickiness of the price growth problem we have in the UK. Also, a lot of it is food, and a third of that, an LSE paper said, is caused by Brexit, and it's going to hit the poorest Brits the hardest because, of course, they spend proportionately more on food. Now, if you look at the WIRP function on the terminal, and forgive my accent, I have to spell it for you, W-I-R-P, that's showing you that traders are now pricing a peak rate of 5.5%, more than actually, by November. So when more than 1 million homeowners are coming to remortgage later this year, they're going to get a nasty surprise.
Lizzie, all accents welcome on this programme, I should point out. Look, we've been hearing from the Chancellor talking about tackling that inflation problem, saying he's comfortable with recession.
Yes, well, I think that the Chancellor has to get behind whatever the Bank of England needs to do, because you'll remember last year the doubt that was cast on the Bank of England's independence in the Liz Truss era, blaming the governor essentially for the inflation problem getting out of control. And so in order to maintain stability and financial credibility for the UK, the Chancellor knows that he needs to support whatever the BOE does. And at the moment, that looks like it needs to keep on raising interest rates. That's what the majority of the MPC are talking about. We heard from Jonathan Haskell yesterday, in order to control inflation. And the reality of that is it means weighing on the demand, perhaps bringing about unemployment, perhaps bringing about recession in order to bring down price growth.
Okay. Also, we did get out yesterday's net migration figures. That won't help to boost optimism around the idea of reducing immigration in the UK, which was another big political commitment.
Yeah, stop the boats was Rishi Sunak's number five priority. We found out this week you've had a record number of migrants in 2022, 606,000 is the net migration figure. Rishi Sunak said not only that he would stop boats crossing the Channel, but he'd bring down migration in general. It's a long-standing Tory promise. It was touted as one of the benefits of Brexit. And so this figure, even though it's not as high as some of the estimates that were put out there, we were warned it could be as high as a million, it exposes the divisions within his Conservative Party. We've already heard from the Home Secretary, Suella Braverman, saying that she wants British people to be picking fruit and driving trucks. And yet, you've got many sectors in the UK economy absolutely desperate for foreign labour. You've got this tight labour market adding to those inflation pressures. But I do think that it's important not to get hysterical about these migration numbers. Jonathan Portes, the professor at King's College London, who's really an immigration expert, we have him on Bloomberg Radio often. He said that the narrative that immigration's spiralling ever upwards or is out of control is simply false. So many of those students that have come post-pandemic that are pushing up the numbers, he says they're going to leave when their courses end, and worker migration is being driven by a demand for staff, which eventually, hopefully, should ease.
Yeah, and Lizzie, we were talking yesterday on the UK Politics podcast to Kantar Public, and they were noting that immigration is quite low down the list of public priorities. Only 20% of people listed that as being a priority. The economic concerns, the NHS, much, much higher than that as well. Lizzie Burden, our UK correspondent, thank you for now.
Now, up next, guilty secret UK fails to gild the lily and giving the extra 5% at home.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline, it's teamwork, and it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
The Paper Review on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe. The news you need to know from today's papers.
And Bloomberg's James Wilcock joins us now with the details of those newspaper stories. James, the FT, has found something positive to say about the UK gilt market. Surely not.
Yes, surely yes, Stephen. Happy Friday. AJ Bell, financial advisors and wealth management companies. They are a 1 billion plus UK market cap company. And their CEO has given an interview where he says, I've been here for 16 years. I have not seen gilts and fixed income products being bought with anything like the volume that we are seeing right now. And that is all because of UK retail investors who are like following institutional investors and saying, actually, my savings account isn't giving me nearly enough returns. I should put this into gilts. I'm out to throw on extra good news. Michael Summerskill, who is the AJ Bell CEO, told the Daily Mail, a different publication, that a London listing made massive sense for the company and it has managed to lure US backers over there. So that's a lot of good news for one day, Stephen. I don't know how you can cope. So I'm going to balance you out with a bit of reality from Marcus Ashworth, our Bloomberg opinion columnist. His fear is there may be all this demand, but the supply for gilts is also booming. You are seeing more net government debt issuance in this year than the past cumulative 7 years, and the BOE is the only major central bank actively selling its bond holdings. So although there is this big UK retail demand there, that does not mean that the massive amount of supply is necessarily quashed.
No, absolutely. But just look at 10-year UK real yields. So they're up yesterday another 6 basis points to 0.57%. So actually, that's why you've got so much interest, because it's nominal and real yields across the UK curve that are going up. But obviously, the macro backdrop is pretty stressful. Meanwhile, the Times have yet another serious challenge to Rishi Sunak's government's business growth plans. This time, though, it's actually about pharma.
Yes. So Eli Lilly, the famous US giant, is saying it is putting plans to invest in the UK on hold. While its complaint is there is this scheme called the Voluntary Scheme for Branded Medicines, and is effectively a cap on raising medicine prices. One of the good things about the US, the UK's massive NHS system, is that the, it gives them massive bargaining power for drugs.
Yes.
Some of the pharma companies have been at odds with for some time. So originally when I picked up the story, I thought, oh, this is them complaining about that. But then the problem with this voluntary branded medicine cap is it was an agreement with the government and pharmaceutical companies to only raise branded medicine prices by a nominal 2% year on year. And anything above that would have to be taken back as a levy for the government. Because of the pandemic and massive NHS backlogs, currently these companies are handing back 26.5% of their revenue back to the government. And so this isn't just Eli Lilly. AstraZeneca blamed this tax specifically for its decision to invest $360 million in a manufacturing facility in Ireland. And this now joins a chorus of business voices. AstraZeneca, Nigel Wilson, Legal & General, Arm, obviously, and INEOS, who are saying that the UK's archaic practices around tax around other areas are holding back its competitive industry. So I gave you one good story, and now this one is very much the opposite direction. And I will add, finally, there's a real cherry on the cake. Life sciences are one of the Chancellor's key five pillars of growth.
OK, well, let's go to The Guardian next, James. Following up on our story yesterday about the coming wave of mortgage refinancing.
Yes, so I was talking yesterday, Stephen, about the coming income shock that the Barclays CEO was talking about, that you have high inflation plus also people refinancing their mortgages. Now, The Guardian today, after the wake of these inflation figures, have been talking to a range of mortgage experts who are saying you should expect these 5% plus fixed rate deals in the coming weeks. Now, they wrote that in the sort of top line of the story, but they said nationwide have already increased their fixed and tracker rates by 0.45% from today. So it has happened in the blink of an eye. You are seeing these rates go up. Now, to give you a sense of what this means, a household with an expiring 2.99% deal on a £150k mortgage would have to find an extra £175 a month if the replacement was priced at 5.19%. Now, that is just for the mortgage. That doesn't even count to the fact that then food price increases are nearly 20% as well. So this really sets out the sort of the dangers that are coming down the shop for this autumn.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, your morning brief on the stories making news from London to Wall Street and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed every morning on Apple, Spotify and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning on London DAB Radio, the Bloomberg Business app and Bloomberg.com.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130. I'm Caroline Hepke.
And I'm Stephen Carroll. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day right here on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.